Tonight's episode recap of Big Brother 22 here on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. BetterHelp Online Counseling is a great service for anyone who wants to talk with a counselor in a private online environment at your convenience. If you think you might be depressed, and certainly that this is a time when people are having a lot of feelings, you might be feeling overwhelmed or anxious, BetterHelp offers licensed online counselors who are trained to listen and to help. BetterHelp counselors have expertise in a broad range of areas, including anxiety, grief, depression, all very big things here in 2020, difficulty sleeping, I know about that, self-esteem, and more. BetterHelp gives you access to help that might not be available in your area. You can fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched up with a counselor in under 48 hours. You could easily secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages, and everything you share is completely confidential. And if for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. Join the over 1 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. And in fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they are currently recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp is an affordable option, and our listeners can get 10% off their first month with the discount code RHAP. Get started today at betterhelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's the podmaster that sucks. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Big Brother 22 recap, Wednesday night edition. 2 weeks from tonight, the winner, Big Brother 22, will be crowned. And we're very excited to have a great show here for you tonight because we have a real life Big Brother winner with us on the panel to talk about everything that's going on. Please welcome back to the podcast, the winner of Big Brother 15, the great Andy Heron is here. Andy, how are you?
Hi, I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, Andy, you look great. So good to see you.
Thanks.
What's on your shirt? What is that?
They're birds, Rob.
Yes, birds. Okay. Will you talk to them like Christmas talks to the ducks in the house?
I do not. I am in real life and not going crazy in the Big Brother house, so I am not talking to inanimate objects.
Okay, what's been going on with you, Andy?
Oh, I mean, so not same old, I feel like pandemic life. Work took a little bit of a hit. It's been getting back to normal a little bit. But still, I've had a lot more free time on my hands. And I was going to tell you guys, I'm always a fan. Like, I listen every summer. But, like, this summer, I've really become a fan because I don't have anything else to do. And so, like, I listen to the podcast every day, like, after it airs. Like, to the point where a few weeks ago, it wasn't put up on, like, Spotify. And I texted Melissa, like, messaged Melissa, and I was like, why isn't it up yet? So I'm a little starstruck to be here now because I've become so invested in it this summer.
Okay. Well, great to have you here. Yeah. And we could put you direct in touch with customer service support. You don't have to bother Melissa.
She replied very quickly and the podcast was up very soon. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Good. I did a good job.
All right. That's pretty impressive if we only screw up once in a while. But I feel like we have a lot of mistakes. But thank you, Andy. Great to have you here tonight to talk about everything that's going on. Also back with us tonight, Asia Welch. She's here. Asia, how are you?
I am doing well, Rob. I am ready to talk about this episode because I brought my teapots.
Oh, so, okay.
So prepared to talk about the important
spill
content.
The tea. Yes.
Spill the tea.
Yes, yes. And maybe we'll talk about the tea versus the pot and much more here tonight. And then also with us tonight, a person who Andy Heron said, I will not come on the podcast unless this person is here. Please welcome the voice of the people. It's Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
Yeah, you know, I'm really important around these parts. People want a podcast with me. That's just fine. It's like, I get it. It makes total sense. I am basically a prophet, honestly, this season. Mm-hmm. So I think it all makes sense. Like, people just want to talk to me, know more about like what's going to happen to the season, maybe what's going to happen to them. Like, I probably can't tell that. I'm really only a Big Brother prophet, but you know.
Yeah, Melissa.
Also, I'm going to keep milking this like one joke about me being a prophet until this Nicole thing doesn't come true. And then I'm never going to mention it again. And everyone's going to need to just not rub it in my face.
Yeah. Nostradani is here to give us more prophecies, because it's not necessarily like you called it and this is what you wanted to have happen. You've been able to see the future, but it's like, hey, I have some bad news. This is what's happening, and I don't like it one bit.
Right. It's like monkey's paw profit, because I can't change it. It's not what I want. I'll see it, but it's not what I want to happen. And, you know, that's okay. Just it.
All right. Well, happy to have you here with us tonight to talk about everything that's going on. Andy, what is it about Melissa that has made her stand out so much for you?
I don't know. I always agree with her. I like what she has to say.
Voice of the people.
I think she's like a pretty great mix of like the roboticness of Taryn, but also the like passion of Brent. I think that she's kind of like a happy medium.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's the baby bear of, you know, not too cold.
I very much agree with that reference. I really enjoyed her drunk histories of Big Brother this summer.
Yeah.
I think that she needs some praise, and I'm here to give it to her.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll keep you around.
Yeah. I've become like an expert this summer. I've listened to like every minute of every podcast, so I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, we are going to be taking your questions later on in the show as we talk about the final five and the BB comics. Everybody wants to weigh in on the comics. And then tomorrow night, we'll talk about who's going home. Will it be Memphis? Will it be Christmas? Find out as we get down to four. Asia, can you believe that we are going to get two more weeks of episodes out of this crew? It really feels like after Monday night and after tonight, well, we might be running out of material.
I can't believe it. Like, of all the seasons, not to do that little surprise eviction they do in the middle of the week. Why? Like, this one, I would have taken two or three surprise middle of the week evictions to hurry this along. But we have two whole weeks to get from four to one. And you know they're going to have the final three on the final night. So it's like, what are they going to do with all this time?
Yeah. Andy, do you want to weigh in on, I guess, the season as a whole, but specifically the decision to do the triple eviction? Not so much like, oh, we missed this exciting week of content, but it just seems like a real misfire in terms of like, we don't have enough stuff to fill the shows anymore.
Right. I mean, as everyone knows, just if I could reverse the boot order and have that be the boot order, that's what I would want to if it had happened this season. And I also, I agree with the triple eviction. I think was just planned very poorly. I think the triple eviction should have been like week three, just get rid of three people. I mean, sure, we would have lost like some fan favorites, but we would have lost people that never really stood a chance. And it would have just been like one fall swoop. Whereas we were robbed of like, Danielle would have given us such a good week of getting mad and like wanting revenge on her alliance. But instead we just clipped her in 20 minutes on live television.
Yeah.
And we lost like the only three people that were somewhat compelling and like we wanted to root for in one night. And so after that, it was just like, okay, I guess we've got these five or these six left. You know, it was just a bummer. Like I said, going into it, it was an exciting night of TV, but the way that it played out was just exactly how the season has played out. And it was just everything that we did not want to happen happened.
Yeah. What would have been wrong with like in Big Brother 15 to have two double evictions?
Right. I have no idea. I mean, I love double evictions, and I think I would rather have had like two nights of being excited as opposed to one night of being excited. I think two double evictions would have been better.
Yeah. I guess they just had 1 hour of television that they needed to fill. And this was the only idea that they had was like, all right, well, I guess let's do another Big Brother eviction.
Right. Well, and they still somehow messed that up too. Remember when they were like, okay, we can't tell the house guests. And then they were like, oh,
who can forget?
What's that? Yeah.
Like, yeah. What? I didn't say triple eviction.
Right. Yeah, I feel like Julie needs to take some improv classes, because I feel like that could have been like turned into like a fun moment where it's like, oh, I guess you saw it. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Or something like that. Instead, she was like, let's keep it a secret a little longer. And it's like, well, it's not a secret anymore. And we all know it. And she's like, I didn't say triple. It's like, yeah, we saw your background.
I agree. Is Julie okay this season?
No, I know. That's what I'm wondering. I was like, anytime somebody like has a speech or something, she always feels the need to like comment on it, especially if the person mentions God. It's like, yeah. Oh, me too. You're not the only one.
Yeah. So Julie has, she's talked about this in some interviews where that she has really, you know, discovered her, or rediscovered her religion to a point where that this is like, she's undergone like a big life change in terms of like how important God is in her life. And, like more power to you, Julie Chen Moonves. But
well, it's like that, good for her. Absolutely. But like, I'd prefer that to be like kind of left out of Big Brother, like keep that on your own Instagram and your own thing.
100%. I don't know if you like your Instagram stories they're wild. I'll just say that.
You know what? Maybe this is good material for the slop. I do not follow
Julie's Instagram stories are very, very wild.
Okay. Can you give us a tease? What goes on? Is it like her?
Lots of Bible verses, lots of like inspiration from, oh my God, Lee Body, I want to say, is the name of her pastor. Mm-hmm. They're interesting. I'll just say that.
Okay. All right. Andy, do you have any broad takes overall on the season that you want to share with us for people who have not been following you on social media this season?
I mean, I kind of think I just feel the same way that everyone does. I've like never been as excited for a season, actually maybe for Survivor Winners at War, but as I was for this season to premiere. I remember like sitting down on the fifth and just truly like excitement coursing through my veins. And then just every single week has been a disappointment. We haven't had like one reprieve from being disappointed at all. And I mean, I fault this giant alliance for pre-gaming and for like, but also, and for winning everything. I mean, I also fault the other side of the house for not being able to win a single competition or a single HOH to overthrow any of these people. I mean, I still just think I don't understand the casting of some of these people. I feel like, do you think that like Memphis or Cody or Enzo were ever going to be like super, super compelling characters on TV? I just really don't think they ever were. And so I think it's kind of interesting that they were put on. But it's been a real disappointment. Yeah. And, yeah,
I'll say I think Enzo is at least a character. I don't really know what Cody or Memphis's character is.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just keep blaming coronavirus for the cast that we have.
We just blame it for everything.
Yeah, no. Because imagine a different world where, you know, anybody they would have asked would have said yes, or they would have asked people they didn't ask. Right. We could have ended up with an amazing cast.
Yeah. I do think though things would have been different had Josh and Casey made the cast. I know that they were there in Sequester, or at least close enough where that maybe Tyler doesn't end up like playing like this half-hearted game this season. And then also maybe you don't know how necessarily Josh changes things up. So they did get a little bit unlucky with Memphis, who ended up being a last minute replacement. But Andy, I would love to know from you, and I, you know, follow your tweets very closely in my timeline constantly. Were you involved in any of the preseason conversations that were being had by the players?
I mean, very few. I feel like everyone knows that no one from Big Brother 15 is going to get a call. So I feel like very few people reached out to me.
You're safe to talk to.
Right. I talked to Janelle and I told her, please target men. But I mean, she didn't really get a chance to. I talked to Danielle and Ian and I just told them to work together, which that didn't work out. But other than that, I'm trying to think, I think those are the only three people that I even talked to going in.
What about Nicole? I feel like that I've seen like, where people say that, okay, well, Andy is friends with Nicole.
Okay. So Nicole, no, I mean, okay. I can give like a world premiere exclusive piece of info here. A lot of people have asked me like why I'm not really rooting for Nicole this season. And here's the thing, I'm not rooting against
Nicole.
You
didn't get invited to the wedding.
Right. No, but yes. So, when I originally did not get invited to the wedding, I was like, okay, like she invited Janelle, who she hates, but and I'm not me, who she's literally like been to my apartment many times. She like, so okay. After Big Brother 16, she visited Chicago a lot because she was seeing Hayden, and Hayden lived in Chicago. And we got pretty close through that. She watched the Big Brother 17 finale at my apartment with me. She was like in Chicago with me watching it. Her best friend was at my apartment for her winning. Like I watched her win with her best friend. We got pretty close. And so then after 18, I didn't talk to her as much, But then the wedding happened. And like I said, I thought it was kind of weird that I didn't get invited, but also I didn't really hold that much against her. But then I learned that someone, and this is like why I haven't really been able to root for her. Someone from my cast, I'm not going to say who, but with like a very big following on a few social media platforms, who's like not really Nicole's friend, who's met her like once. And this was told to me by the person on my cast. This person got invited to the wedding and I didn't. And this person was like, I'm pretty sure I only got invited because I have such a big following. And I was like, well, that sucks. Like, I was just like, I'm her actual friend. She's like spent a lot of time.
We know it wasn't Alyssa.
Right. But I'm not going to say who it is. But I was just like, I was like one of the only alums that rooted for her on 18. And so like, it takes a lot to like hurt my feelings like that. And learning that, I was just like, ooh, I think she's like kind of opportunistic and I don't love this. And so, like I said, I don't wish her ill will. I'm like not rooting against her, but it has been hard for me just personally to root for her, if that makes sense.
Okay. Wow. Andy, with the tea.
Yeah.
It whistles.
The tea is piping hot.
Whistling.
No, just like I said, I thought it was kind of opportunistic and kind of gross. And like I said, this cast member was like, wait, because she reached out to me, reached out to me and was just like, oh, like, did you get invited? Obviously you did. And I was like, no, I didn't. And when she said that she did, I was like, I don't love that, but whatever.
Yeah, but then you found out how much money it costs to go.
Right.
And then you were like, thank goodness.
And then I was like, yeah, okay, I'm cool with this.
All right.
It was just a bummer. Like I said, I'm not like mad. It just like bummed me out, you know?
It doesn't surprise me, I'll say.
No, that's the thing. It's like, I had been like, just, I really have kind of like the Nicole that we're seeing now is not the Nicole that I met after Big Brother 16. I'm being honest. Like, I just kind of feel like Nicole's like a shell of who she once was. And it's like a bummer. And like, that's why a part of me like isn't really rooting for her, because I don't want like it to be rewarded that she like isn't that cool. I don't know. Like, I'm like digging my grave. I feel like I should just stop.
Well, I'm interested to know, Andy, who are you rooting for, if anyone?
I'm rooting for Cody. I think that, so here's my thing. I'm rooting for Cody because I just am not invested in any of them. And so I'm strategically rooting for the person that I think has played the best, and that's Cody. But I will give credit where credit is due. If any of the remaining players cut Cody, then I will be rooting for them, even if it is Nicole. She deserves it. Like, I think I will be rooting for who the player that deserves it the most is, I think. And at this point, I think it's Cody.
Asia, this was a real roller coaster ride for me tonight with Cody, because when we had the segment about his family, I personally didn't know this about that his girlfriend had a Hodgkin's lymphoma and was, was with her through this whole thing. I was like, wow, this is what a great guy. Cody, couldn't believe it. Was this known to the audience, or am I just somehow out of the loop?
Yeah, if you follow him on Instagram, like, well, if you don't know Cody, yeah, if you follow my Instagram, he has been pretty public about it, and posts every now and then, especially when she was going through everything. So I know, remembering when I saw that on Instagram, like even like whenever it happened a year or two ago, I just thought like, oh, how awesome of a guy is he? Like, they stuck together, and you can really tell how strongly he feels about her. And I was like, he's such a good guy. Like, he's not the immature guy we saw in season 16. He just flirts with everybody. It was like, he's in a real committed relationship and they've gone through a lot. And so, yeah, I knew about that story just because of Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Cody and Enzo seem like pretty good people, right? Like, am I crazy? Like, I think out of the remaining people that are left in there, it seems like they're like the best people. If that makes sense.
Well, I was just coming around on Cody, and then we got to in the comics, and then he starts with shading Kacer and Keisha.
King Kacer? King of what? Going home before he gets to the jury? Like, I don't know. What is he the king of? Why does he even have a comic?
Why does he even have a comic? He doesn't even want Kacer to have a comic?
I mean,
it's a little mean.
Do we think that, like, production was just like, oh, give us some funny sound bites about, like, I feel like they were, like, egging him on to do this for sure.
That's exactly Absolutely. What I was thinking. I was like, production is clearly telling him, like, okay, like, rag on these, like, past contestants and just trying to get him to, like, say stuff. Because you could tell that each person was kind of, like, putting their own spin on, like, mocking these house guests. Like, I don't know. It was just like, okay. Like, even who was it who was talking about Davon's comic? Was it what?
Memphis?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, there's nothing really to say about that comic. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Daydream. Yeah. But yeah. he's like, okay, I guess I'll just talk about Davon. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, none of these house guests are funny. So it just came across as like,
it was very mean spirited.
Like, rude and mean spirited. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I feel like I kept thinking, like, if a different person was saying this, like,
sure,
it might come across as, like, silly and funny. But, like, yeah, because these house guests are saying it, and because they're saying it about people, like, that are universally, well, not universally, but, you know, for the most part, loved outside of the house, that, like, it comes across real bad.
I mean, especially, I feel like that's like an overall theme of the whole season. I feel like this whole season has been humorless, right? It's like, mm-hmm, whenever I watch the feeds, like, which is rare, but, like, whenever I did, it just seemed like nobody was having any fun ever. Like, there would just be very little humor and, like, laughter in this house.
Also, have there been, like, any funny segments from the past, like, 3 weeks? I mean, like, okay, someone walking in on someone going to the bathroom multiple times and someone talking about tea kettles. Like, none of that is funny.
What about Enzo's foot stalker? I don't find any
of that funny. But the foot fetish thing, like, I mean, come on. Like, I feel like all of this is just, like, what the heck? Like, this is not funny.
No,
like,
I agree.
And if that's the best they can do in terms of, like, I can't blame the producers for that, because, or the editors, because it's like, if that's the best they have, that's the best they have. They're not really having winning material to work with here. So I don't know. Not great.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about what was going on in terms of this game, and a lot of, like, politicking about the veto and who could potentially win and maybe come down. We saw Enzo talking with Christmas, talking with Memphis about how, you know, he should try to win the veto. Listen, do we suspect that Enzo threw the veto here?
I mean, I don't know. I honestly, like, it could be a throw. It could be not. I don't think so. Maybe he said it on feeds. I don't know. But I feel like this episode in particular, I was noticing that, like, and maybe it's just because I knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what. Like, I feel like no one was going to use the veto unless it was won by Christmas or Memphis. And we know that. And so, like, the whole first half of the episode was seemingly, like, kind of pointless to me. I mean, they need to, like, fill the space, but it's like, what's going to happen if someone wins it? What's going to happen if Memphis wins? It's like, well, if Memphis wins it, he's going to use it. If Christmas wins it, she's going to use it. And if everyone else wins it, it's not going to get used. So, like, move along. Let's look at the comics. I don't know. I love the Phoebe comics, like, veto competition so much that I was just like, okay, let's move along. Let's have close-ups to the comics so I can look at them and critique them. And all this other garbage, like, doesn't mean anything to me.
Agreed.
Yeah. Asia, I did like it when Enzo was talking to Nicole and they were watching Memphis on the spy screen. And Enzo was like, look at this guy. He's like a big bully. I can't wait till he's out of here.
Yeah, so whoever is on the bottom that week, they want to poke it. Like, they would have never been talking about Memphis like this 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But it's like, now they're like, okay, now that we're putting him on the, now he's on the block, and now that we're targeting him, let's poke at him a little bit. It's like, did you see him as a bully 3 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Even though we know, like, Memphis does kind of have that persona. But on that point about Enzo throwing it, I don't think he threw it, only because his score was on par with Memphis and Christmas.
Right.
The scores were all pretty low.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they were all like 20 minutes, like 28 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a pretty close race.
It's easier said than done, I'm sure. And I never, BB Comics was a season after me, so I never got to do it. But it's like, it doesn't seem that hard. Just, like, put them down and, like, figure out what the, I don't know. I feel like Nicole's time seemed quite realistic to me.
Yeah.
But
I feel like
the complicated thing has got to be, like, the rope thing, or, like, the like, zip line thing for me, at least. Like, that seems complicated to me, but it seems like they always get them wrong. Like, they always do, you know, the little X thing where it's like, it's like, that doesn't seem to be the hard part. It seems like the swinging and then, like, getting back out and then swinging, like, that seems hard to me. But maybe it's just because, like, physical stuff is just, like, not for me in terms of competition.
No, I completely agree. Like, when they sit them down and look at them and notice the differences, I don't understand how they got any of them wrong. Like, that was very odd.
To be fair, though, that David one was a little hard.
Yeah.
Like, where it was just, like, a bunch of Davids. Like, I don't know if I would have thought, like, okay, I need to count the Davids.
Right.
It was, like, the first thing, but...
let me... you want to talk about Enzo's teapot?
for a second.
Well, I mean, what else are we going to talk about, really? I feel like, you know, we can talk about the intricacies of, like, tea making and whether it's considered manly or not, but
Well, hold on. Andy, did Enzo just get a teapot, or do they have the teapot the whole season?
Okay, so you're asking the wrong person. I've never once in my life made tea or coffee, so I don't know how to use a teapot or a coffee pot. If there was one in the Big Brother house, I never once used it. I actually could not tell you I'm sure there was, but I actually don't know. So you have the wrong guest on tonight to talk about this, because I just truly have no idea.
Yeah.
Also, I love how they're having Cody, like, critiquing Enzo's. Yeah. Like, Enzo is such a dummy. And it's, like, basically, like, Dumb and Dumber, like, sitting there critiquing each other. It's like, which one can out-dumb the other?
No, I tweeted. I was just like, I had a typo, so I deleted it. But I was like, I wish that we had more heavy hitters in there, because, like, Enzo and Cody are playing the best games, and, like, what world out of every pool and every Big Brother player that we could have possibly had, are Enzo and Cody the best two players of the season? It's so wild to me.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. So Enzo makes a lot of tea, I guess, and he boils water on the stove in the pot, and only recently realized that there is a tea kettle in the Big Brother house. He didn't really know how to use it. It seems like that he's unfamiliar with the concept of a tea kettle.
Oh, it whistles.
Yes. Yes.
I at least knew that.
Yes. But
yeah, has he never seen a movie?
Yeah. Or, seen or heard I'm a Little Teapot. None of these things. Right. He doesn't know about this. But he feels like that maybe it's more masculine to boil the water in a pot and then spill the water everywhere and not use the teapot.
You've been using pot. Well, because it's manly to use the pot.
It's manly to use the pot?
Now, Andy, I've seen some of your cameos on cameo.com. Is it manly to use the pot?
No, I'm gonna say that it's universally fine to use the pot. Men can use the pot. It is not like, and I don't know. I didn't love this. I think, like, I don't like when men, like, think that things are girly. I think it's, like, antiquated and stupid. But
you feel like anybody can use the pot.
Men out there, feel free to use the pot.
Men use the pot. Women use the pot.
Yes. It is not just a thing for women.
Okay.
This is what we're talking about.
I know. It's literally come to this, talking about tea kettles. And I was like, I've never thought of myself more as a woman just because I use my teapot. It's more of like, oh, I don't have time to use my Keurig today. Or no, I have time. So let me not use my Keurig. Let me actually use my teapot, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. We think it's, we're good with everybody using the pot here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
All right. Let's see. You're right. I'm trying to, like, milk this to get to the comics and have a long discussion about the comics. Should we talk about Christmas's cooking? What's with her zucchini?
All right. I'm gonna go cook some zucchini and tomatoes.
Her zucchini is disgusting.
This is what we're talking about. Big Brother content. Zucchini and tomatoes.
She's going to make zucchini and tomatoes, and then later on in the episode,
make me some pokey.
She wanted pokey.
She's a chef.
Yeah.
What is that? What does that mean? Like sushi?
Yeah, it's like ahi tuna and avocado.
Yeah, that's what I'm okay. That's what she was talking about. Okay, I didn't know if pokey was like some sort of a food that I didn't know what it was.
No.
But do they have that in the Big Brother house? We never had.
They were eating it at the end of the episode. They all had their capes on. Yeah.
We never had that.
Yeah.
We had Triscuits and hummus, and that's all that they get.
That's all you get.
Asia, what do you think Christmas is doing to the zucchini?
For it to be so bad, just not adding a lick of salt or pepper or any type of seasoning, because how do you mess it up unless she's overcooking it, the texture's off, like Or Enzo just doesn't like vegetables.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like she would be a bad cook, right? I mean, she does not seem like the way that her body looks. I'm like, you don't make food that tastes good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she just seems like too angry to be a good cook. I could see her like, right? Like just like, see, shopping something to oblivion.
A lot of good chefs, I feel like, are angry. Right? That's like a trope of chefs. Yeah. So
it is a trope of
like
chefs.
A Gordon Ramsay, like taking Julie Chen Moonves.
Yeah, Julie Chen. An idiot sandwich.
Yeah. Because one other Christmas thing before we talk about the comics that I felt like that, you know, Cody was having this really nice segment talking about his girlfriend. And then I felt like that Christmas hijacked it.
He did.
I was like, wait, I thought we were talking about Cody.
I mean, that's what Christmas's thing is, that she makes any conversation about her. Are we shocked? Like, come on.
You know, hey, look, they're trying to find ways to make this final five sympathetic. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were talking earlier about how, like, have they showed any conversations from the committee that are like emotional or like moving or something about their life or whatever. This is it. Mm-hmm. So you're welcome, everyone, because you finally get, you know, sort of emotionality from them.
I was just listening to Nicole Anthony on a podcast, and she was saying
the Podmaster.
They never had, she was saying that like nobody ever wanted to have conversations like that. She was saying that she tried and people would just like, nobody wanted to like open up. Nobody wanted to just like goof around even. And she just said that nobody really like wanted to talk about personal stuff, which is weird to me. I think
they didn't want to do it with her because they wanted her out.
Yeah.
Save it for the podcast, Podmaster.
Did they ever really do it with, like, I feel like I never like saw the committee members having like super deep, meaningful conversations with each other.
Yeah, that's why they have to do it with the inanimate objects around the house. Here's Christmas talking to the duck.
What do you think?
I do.
Listen, I'm gonna want the veto. Because I'm the veto girl, okay? You're kind of a crazy guy.
Christmas. Enzo talked to the cow.
It's hilarious because like, you know, coming on this podcast, I was like, let me take a few notes. My roommate starts talking during that segment. I was like, wait, I'm taking notes. She's like, for this is the content.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is all we have, really. This is about
talks
it.
To a duck.
Honestly, yeah. Like okay. So in this episode, we have Christmas talking to a duck. We have Enzo talking to a cow. And then Nicole talking to the camera. Just talk to the camera. Like, Nicole talking to the camera was so much more meaningful to me than like these other people talking to props. It's just like, I can't take like whatever strategy conversations they're having with these animals or whatever like insight they're giving us to their game. Like, it just goes in one ear and out the other for me. Whereas like with Nicole, it's like she's talking to the camera saying like, I'm not going to tell this information to people. Like, I'm going to, you know, keep that to myself, and I'm going to, you know, keep it in mind that Christmas might, you know, take me to finals. Like, that stuff's interesting to me. Just talk to the cameras. You don't need to do a big song and dance about like having some silly critter to talk to. You know, it's like,
they're all all-stars. They should know to talk to the cameras. They should know that that's like what people want. I feel like I don't fault first time players for not really knowing that. Like, I personally once, like, I finished last on an HOH competition in our final five, and the production told me to go inside, and they were like, oh, go inside and entertain the feedsters. And I literally just like went inside and folded napkins and like put silverware away and did not say a word. And like, looking back, I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I wish I would have known to actually talk to all of you. But it's like,
silent.
I just know I literally just like sat there and like played cards with myself. If you're an all-star, you should know. Come on, like, you should know to talk to the cameras. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, exactly. These all-stars, a lot of them don't even watch feeds. Like, Memphis was just talking about this week. He's like, the feeds seem boring. Like, how do you even watch the feeds? Like, how do you find interesting stuff? Like, yeah, how do you not get how Memphis. The feed work?
Also, I feel like if you want credit for what you're doing, like, tell us what you're doing. You know,
like,
what I mean?
It haunts me that I didn't, because it was like final five. And I feel like if I would have just been like, hey, I'm running things. Like, I've got this person in my pocket. I wanted this. Like, I feel like I could have gained so much favor, and I'm just like, instead, I just like put knives away.
Totally. Because you made the house look nice. You know, honestly, like, because I do feel like a lot of the time when somebody wins and we don't know their strategy, like if they've like kept it in, we're bound to think like, well, they didn't have a strategy. Like, cause they didn't say anything about it the whole time. So clearly there wasn't anything there, but really, like, if that person will just turn to the cameras and be like, no, I really actually have like an idea of what's going on and this is my plan. Like, that will give them so much credit in the end. Whereas them after the fact saying like, no, I really did have a plan, like, will mean nothing.
We're going to come right back and break down all of the BB comics from tonight. But let me tell you about another reality TV hit franchise that is about to make its return. That's Shark Tank, which is coming back to ABC this Friday, October 16th. In unprecedented times like these, it's great to know that the American dream lives on. That's right. Shark Tank is back in business and it's more inspirational and crazy than ever. When you see what they did to get this show back on the air, it will blow your mind, as will the wild inventions that the most driven entrepreneurs from around the country will bring into the tank. There's no better time for an uplifting show like this, and with some amazing new guest sharks, including the creator of Tom's Shoes, Blake Mycoskie, and jewelry designer and CEO Kendra Scott. One thing's for certain, in the tank, the streets are still paved with gold. From self-cleaning water bottles to pizza cupcakes, when the sharks see a great idea, the feeding frenzy is on. The Emmy-winning Shark Tank returns Friday, October 16th at 8, 7 Central, only on ABC. Now let's talk about another return, the return of BB Comics. Okay, let's talk about some of the BB comics from tonight. And I don't know, you want to go through them?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. This is in no particular order, just the order that I transcribed them. Bailey is Bailey's Comet.
Downboat.
So if somebody has a link with all of the pictures, I could only find, I saw what Mike had on parade.com, what Mike Bloom had, but if somebody has a link, tweet it to me and I'll put them up on the screen if people want to take a look. I have some of them. I guess let me show you some of the ones that I've been able to find on Twitter, if anybody has a photo gallery of all of them. So I did mention Bailey's Comet, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Oh, it's like they were like, well, okay, her name is Bailey. What does that rhyme with? Haley? Haley's Comet? Okay, we got it. It's like it has nothing to do with anything that she did in the game. It's literally just a play on her name.
Yeah, very dumb.
Mm-hmm. Had nothing to do. If she was like maybe really into astrology and she talked about it constantly on the season, but it was just like they pulled something out of a hat and were like, oh, this works.
Yeah. Nope.
Was Bailey's Comet was she riding the surfboard that Swaggy C won the first HOH was on for the first HOH in BB20?
Rob, I think you're giving them way too much credit.
Way too much.
I don't think he is, but that's just me.
Okay. Let me see.
Like, you're talking about a production who like frequently misspells people's names and like gets things wrong all the time. I don't think they were like...
Well, that was how we were introduced to Swaggy C. He was on a surfboard in the Big Brother 20 premiere. Yes. Here, I have courtesy of Hamster Watch. I can bring up some of the ones that we're talking about here tonight for people watching us on the YouTube version. Here is Bailey's Comet. Boom.
No.
Bad.
No, terrible. At least her face looks like her. She looks
beautiful, but the concept is stupid.
Yes, so a constellation sensation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What about the Podmaster?
I like this one. This
so
one
good.
Look at her
nails. Even her nails are rainbow. I really like this one.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like that's a good one.
Okay. They did a good job with the Podmaster.
And it was relevant to this season because, you know, there was discussion in the beginning about how, like, oh, we turned down an invite to her podcast, so she hates us now, with Danny and Nicole saying that. So, like, it was relevant.
Remember that? Wasn't that so weird? Like, it's just like Nicole Anthony, who just doesn't hate anyone. They were so worried about that. That was so weird.
Mm-hmm. It was very strange.
She's the Podmaster. Asia, I think she has
the same
microphone as you. I think that looks like a Blue Yeti. And then is Eric Curto in the background? Is he one of the criminals? Is he one of the pictures?
Are they supposed to be people? Are they just random people?
I think they're random.
I think they're just random because the other like villains and the other one are just random.
Okay. Yeah. Here's what Enzo had to say about the Nicole Anthony podcast.
I love Nicole A, but that's one podcast I will not listen to live. I feel bad. I will listen to your podcast one time. The one that I'm on it, I will listen to that one.
Okay. Boy, that wasn't...
I feel like, why, though? Like, I mean, I love her, but I won't listen to her podcast. It's like, why? Like, if you love her, then you would listen to it.
I mean, yet again, I think they were just like, ooh, give us a snippy soundbite, and that's what they got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the other options probably weren't much better. Cody probably said something. Memphis probably said something.
Yeah.
That's one podcast I will not listen to.
Yeah. I've got like 800 more for you, Enzo.
Like, at least the comic got a thumbs up.
Yes, the comic is good. This was one of the few good ones.
Yeah, if I were her, I would make that like the profile picture of my podcast.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The podmaster. Okay. We have David N. Goliath. He's David and he turns up to Goliath. He says, a hero you can look up to.
I liked the tagline, but I mean, I would give it a middling, like a middle.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah, I agree.
It's like, I like the tagline because I feel like he talked about that a lot of like, you know, a lot of people would see him on this show. And,
oh,
you know,
you're
like,
giving them too much credit, Melissa. Like, no way that they were like looking that deep into this.
That is literally the only way reason it's this. Otherwise, I do feel like it's like a very obviously it's an obvious one. It's like, OK, David and Goliath. OK, cool. Like, let's just make him David and Goliath. Like, well, it's very easy.
The artwork is weird. I think he kind of looks like a bug. Like, it looks like
like a bug with a bunch of arms.
Yeah.
Right.
Asian,
so, I think it's middling to low.
Do you think that they were going for a double meaning here? A hero you could look up to?
Hey, look, it's accidentally on point because David was the rookie and he was going against these Goliaths, and hey, he made it all the way to the triple eviction. Yeah. But I know who probably does love this comic.
Who?
Julie Chen.
Oh, yes, it's Bible story.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Here's the Caliph Fury.
I mean, it has nothing to do with anything. It's just his name.
It's like they took these names, sent them to the comic, and then maybe like, okay, we'll write a little bit about the person, but otherwise we'll just leave it. And they're like, yeah, his last name is Caliph Fury.
2 seasons. This is the best we could do for this guy.
I know. I think it's like, and plus like, it doesn't really make sense because he's not like a furious type of guy.
Right.
He's not a big tornado. Like if it was someone who like was just like a whirlwind of like emotions and anger and like going around the house, like messing things up or whatever, like, okay, fine. But like, that's not him.
Now here we have 3-time Big Brother player, potential 2-time winner of the game. The best we have for Nicole Franzel is her Sloppies costume nobody even remembers.
So, at the very least, it's about this season.
That's what I was just going to say. At least it's about this season, but yeah, it's bad. It's dumb.
Yeah, literally on the Saturday roundtable, like Taryn had some of the names that they had mentioned and he was like, oh, for Nicole, it was serial killer. I'm like, where did that come from? Like, I literally forgot that was her costume.
When I first heard that, I thought back to, I was like, what is this? Does it have something to do with like Matt from Big Brother 19? Like, I was just like, what?
Yeah.
It's at least about the season.
Okay.
And she was so mad about that comic.
Here's one of the really wild ones.
I think this one's like the worst one possibly. It doesn't even look like
it. It doesn't look anything like him. And it's also like,
well, hold
really
on. Let's say what this is for the podcast. It's Abra Curl Dabra.
Okay. There are many things wrong.
Okay. This is Tyler.
Whatever.
Yeah.
There are so many things wrong with this. Number one, it looks nothing like
him. Okay.
Number two, Abra Curl Dabra? That doesn't even make any sense.
Okay, let me just present to ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Exhibit A, production is not happy with Tyler this season.
They're like, make him as ugly as you
possibly can. You are the chosen one.
Tyler is an attractive man. He looks like a ghoul. He looks gross.
They wanted you to have nice things this season. You screwed it up.
And also, if this were my BB comic, I think I would have cried. Like, what I thought, I truly think I would have been upset.
Also, okay, so like Meg points this out in the chat, which is that last night on the round table, I was complaining about how big everyone's muscles were. Like, they made everyone like bulging and veiny muscles. Except for him, he's like a little stick.
Yes, because
one person.
That's not going to sell a cookbook.
They had to do that because of how they edited that one episode when he wanted to quit. They're like, oh, he's so frail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So skinny.
I think it's going to take a lot to top this one for me for worst one.
So bad. Like the name too. It's like Abracadabra. Like that doesn't even Abracurldabra. First of all, Abracadabra doesn't have anything to do with Tyler. Abracurldabra. Like curl doesn't have anything to do with Ka. So like I just it's just it's bad. Like, all
that's a magician, not a superhero.
Yeah,
whatever. Poor Tyler, it's so bad.
Yeah. Tyler.
I'd be interested to see what his comic was when he played, like last time, because was it that much better? Like, I wonder if they really painted him in like a very flattering light the first time, and now this time they're like super pissed off, so they're like, nope, he gets the worst one.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is the band animal. Here's Kevin.
It's so bad. So bad.
I agree and disagree. Concept is atrocious. It's terrible. He looks fantastic. Okay,
yes,
look at him.
He is. True.
He looks great.
He looks so good. And like, it actually, like the one, the Tyler one did not look like Tyler. This looks like Kevin.
It does. With the eyebrows up. Like
I think the artwork is incredibly like aesthetically pleasing. Although I don't understand why there's like a dog in the corner. Does he have like a
dog? That looks like your dog, Asia.
But I don't understand why there's a dog in the corner. But I think that he looks amazing. I think the concept is abysmal.
Yeah, it's like I get that he wears a bandana, but like, where are the animals coming into this?
Right. And other people wore bandanas, like David.
Right. Tyler wears bandanas.
Yeah. And then he's the leader of the pack.
I saw someone tweet, they were like, oh, it's really crazy that they put Nicole in Kevin's comic. And I was like, what? And so I went to find the image and then I saw the rat on the elephant's head and I was like, okay, well.
That's a real stretch also.
Look, like they should have. So someone, I don't remember who suggested this, like on Twitter or something, but they were like, they should have had him be like an undercover agent because he always had the blanket or something. Like, just like something creative like that and not like just that he wears a bandana. I swear, these are all based on the fact that they gave him a picture of them. Mm-hmm. So this is their name. And this is their occupation.
Or even do like,
yes.
Occupation. Like Anita Vito would have been like such a fun one or like something to do with that. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, that would have been so good.
That's here we go. Have. Here's Memphist. Don't mess with the fistologist.
Once again, it literally only has to do with the fact that his name is Memphis.
Yeah, and like you said, they gave his occupation, they got it wrong.
So it's like, this one would have been fun for Big Brother 10, because that was his job.
Right, exactly, they got the wrong season.
Yes, but Andy, he's wearing the denim vest that he wore earlier in the season. I think that they, 2 weeks into the season, they said, all right, let's commission, this is what the BB comics are.
No, Nicole had Nicole's the serial killer costume, which was like way further than that.
Was it that far?
I find that what they did was like, all of these people, like who, like anyone who does, because it does seem like the main things that they did was anything that was related to this particular season was based on a costume. So it was like Ian and Nicole.
Right.
So then everyone else is like, it's like, if you don't get a costume, then it, like just take a picture of them and like, let's get this over with. Let's like do these before we need to, so that way they have a lot of time to draw it or whatever. I don't know, but it just seems like they did it way in advance, or they just didn't care. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like the artist was like, okay, what's Memphis' occupation? They're like, oh, he a restaurateur. Okay, well, no. What was his occupation in season 10?
Used to be.
By the way, more on this comic when we get to the slop on later this week. We'll circle back to Memphis, okay? Dirk Space Jammer, the newest help for Ian.
I mean, I thought this one, like, if I were Ian, this one's kind of a bummer, too. It's, like, just him in a costume. It has, like, nothing to do with his personality. At least it has to do with the season. I just think this one's boring.
Why is he the newest hope?
Like, it's like a Star, I think it's a Star Wars reference. Like, isn't one of them called Star Wars? Sorry, mm-hmm. Star Wars, like A New Hope, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right?
All right.
I just feel like it really does seem like, so when this first started in Big Brother 16, it felt like they took so much care in like making sure that they really captured like the personality and like what the yes. person's been doing in the house and like their home life too. Like, I just remember for Zach's, like they had his little brother in there because he always talked about his little brother on the feeds. And it's like they had like all these things. And now I just feel like they're really phoning it in, like, which is disappointing just because like I love the Big Brother comics. I think that it's so fun. And I talked about this on the roundtable where it's like this and Zingbot, it's like I do feel like that's one of the few times in the season where the house guests can get a little taste of like what people on the outside are thinking of mm-hmm. them at this current moment.
Sure.
And it's like, and you get to know like if someone is loved or hated depending on like what they get as like their insult from Zingbot or like or their zing from Zingbot or their right. their comic. And it's like here really tells you nothing. Like, I mean, yeah. the only one that maybe tells you something is Kacer's, but it's like King Kacer is like what people called him long ago, so it really doesn't have anything to do with this particular season. We just still call him King Kacer because mm-hmm. he is a king. So like, I mean, yeah. I don't know.
No, I agree.
Okay. Here was the bombshell. Now, Nicole really did not like this one. What? Why does Janelle get to be the bombshell and I have to be the serial killer?
This is down for me too.
This one's bad too. Like, what, the bombshell? That's like, Janelle has so many iconic things about her, and this is what they, I think this one's, this is a huge bummer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They could have put her, she's pretty. She's yeah. attractive. Like, let's just right. use that. It's like, exactly. that's fine. But there's so much more to her.
They could have put her Louboutins in there. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, why not put her in the star costume?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
The all star. Like, yeah.
Yeah, the all star, right. the star of the season.
The all star. That would have been so good.
Why does she get to be the all star? Yeah. yeah. Okay. King Kacer.
Yeah, I mean,
now Melissa, you seemed upset on the LFC roundtable the other night over that. You felt like that Kacer is too ripped.
It's not that he's too ripped; it's that it's gross. Like the way it's drawn yeah. is like gross. Like it's bad. Like it's just the it's not like an attractive muscular. It's like a. Like a bulging, protruding.
Andy, is Kacer too muscular here?
I actually agree with Melissa. Shockingly, I know.
Yes.
I think that Kacer's muscular. Like Kacer's arm looks disgusting.
You would like to see him with more of a dad bod.
Too much.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I also think the hat is like weirdly placed. At first, I was like, "Is that his foot?" And then I was like, "No, his foot's below that." So I just think I think the artwork on this one is kind of confusing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I literally was just staring at that. I'm like, "What is
yeah, it looks
that?"
Like his, like,
I didn't know it was a hat.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a weird thing growing out of him.
No, it looks like his femur is like sticking out.
Yeah. No, it took me a while to figure out. I'm right. It is the bad guy's hat, correct?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. But why is like that guy wearing that hat?
Yeah, and who's this bad guy that he's fighting?
Know, but like, also, I had to stare at him for a while, and then I deduced that it was the hat.
Yep. I love how Kacer tweeted about it and was like, "Wow, I get my first BB comic, and it's me doing the river dance."
The Lord of the Dance.
Kacer. It's like the straight leg kicks. Oh my god! And like the arms. It's just so like, oh my yeah. god!
Crime is royally screwed with King Kacer. And then it's the birthday girl.
I like this
slicing
one.
Yeah. and icing evildoers.
But to be fair, like I'm okay with them using a pass thing for Keisha because she went out first right. week. She didn't really have yeah. anything. So like, what yeah. else are they gonna do? And yeah. you know, it's fine.
Well,
I like this one.
Yeah.
But listen to this other shade from Cody.
King Kacer.
Oh wait, no.
King of what?
listen to that again.
Who was this blonde shit that was apparently on our season? Oh, that's right, Keisha. I sent her home in the first week. Big moves, Califieri.
Hold on. Now, okay, so who is this blonde chick that, first of all, she did nothing to Cody.
Nothing.
She was so nice to him, and she did nothing to him. She was just like, and he's going to shade her. And then is he shading himself there about how that, like, is he being facetious about what a big move that was?
Big moves, Califieri.
Yeah, I think he's shading himself.
Yeah,
I feel like he's not, but I feel like it does shake him.
I think it was an accidental self shade.
He's like, self owned.
Big moves, Calipari over here, and we're all like, okay, sure you are.
Okay,
acts like he doesn't know who she is, but then he was so aware of Memphis making final two, same season.
Yeah. Okay. Here, let's a couple more. This one is Mrs. Claus slashing through the snow. She liked this one.
I feel bad for Chris.
Why is she Freddy Krueger?
I feel bad for her because it's like, okay, the only thing that people have on her is like her name. Like, she's got to be sick of that by now. Like, I mean, come on.
I mean, there's other things you could use. Christmas. But I think,
she loves it.
Yeah. Compared to that, then she's happy when people go with Christmas jokes. True. Yeah.
I don't know.
And it looks nothing like her.
Yeah, it looks nothing like her. It doesn't have anything to do with the season. Like, fine. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
It's weird. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like this one.
Mm-hmm. And she's killing a snowman? Like, what did he do to anyone, you know? Like, he's no criminal.
No, when I saw it, I was like, she's Freddy Kruegering a snowman. I don't get it. That's not like a superhero would do. The snowman looks nice.
Yeah, like, look at him. He's shocked. He's totally surprised. She just
he does look pretty sad. Yeah.
She's murdering innocent snowmen. It's just awful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's holding no weapon or anything. Yeah. Like, what's he going to do?
Yeah, like, they didn't even have him, like, holding a knife or something. Like, at the very least, he can be holding a knife. And then it's like, well, you know, maybe there was something going on.
Slant his eye. Like, make him look angry. Yeah. Mad. Like, he's just shocked.
Give him red eyes or something. He's right. Poor snowman.
Yes.
Totally caught off guard.
And you don't even need to cut up a snowman like that. You could just, like, throw some hot liquid on him. That'll melt him also.
Push him over.
Yeah, that's superpower. Okay. All right. Then, the regulators are here. Danny.
I think the concept is kind of funny, like, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I mean, it has absolutely nothing to do with her this season, but I still think it's a little funny.
I think it's funny, but I feel like I would feel bad if I was Danny, because I'd be like, wait, so I literally did nothing to warrant.
They could have made her the gardener.
The gardener.
No, planting seeds. Yeah, probably right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
The artist clearly, the artist watched old school Big Brother. Because if you think about the old school players, their comics were all referencing the first seasons. And then these newer ones are like, okay, with their name.
I honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if the person was just like a big fan of the previous seasons and was just I want to like do something for their previous persona, not like the new season. But I mean,
we love to see Lawan, Cassie, and Keith and Dominic representation.
Yes,
come
on. Yes, yes.
That is true.
Yes, Keith's angels.
I never think they were going to get a comic.
Yes.
Right. Danny's going to hate this, though.
Yeah.
Oh, she's for sure going to hate this.
I saw a great tweet that Lawan finally got his superpowers this week.
Yes.
Yeah, that is true.
Handsome-fied, yes. There you go. Yes. All right. Then we had, Daydream. This is the one that everybody hates.
I still think this one's better than Tyler because she at least looks good. But the concept is truly baffling. Yeah.
Now, Melissa, I heard you on the LFC roundtable last night talking about this, how you really didn't like it. Did it help at all that they played the clip of Davon talking about how everybody can go find a bed because she's going to put them to sleep?
No. I just feel like it's like, this has nothing to do with her. Like, I mean, I don't think they were thinking about that when they made this comic. I just feel like it just doesn't even make any sense.
Okay, so I'm trying to make sense of what's happening. And so what it seems like is happening to me is she has entered this man's room and tied him up with some sort of psychedelic rope that has knocked him out and made him dream, and she has accepted his dream and she's beating him up. Like, I don't understand. Like, and also, why is he dreaming about being beaten up by Davon?
Mm-hmm. He, like, seems to like it.
Yes.
Like, yeah, he looks
he's like, ooh. Like, please.
Ooh, yeah. Like,
Tie me up. Like, yeah, it does seem a little odd. I don't know.
No, now I'm getting it. Okay. I think so. She's making his dream a reality. So she's doing it in his dream and it's happening to him in real life. I mean, you shouldn't have to think this hard about it. Like, this comic.
Daydream. Yes.
Yeah. I guess.
If I were her, I would like kind of like it because like, she looks good, but I would be like, well, that's a stupid concept. But
Andy, your dreams will become a reality.
What's with all the like we had Christmas with Freddy Krueger gloves. This is like a Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, what is with all the like Freddy Krueger stuff happening here?
They're big fans, apparently. But honestly, it does look like he's enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we can all admit.
So you're saying maybe they should have gone with the comic book 50 Shades of Day, is what you're saying.
If you just like replaced the daydream with that, I wouldn't have questioned it. I would have leave everything else the same. This is exactly what it's showing to you.
Right, it's because she throws shade. She's 50 Shades of Day.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. You should be one of the comic book writers.
Yeah, consult with me. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And then the meow meow. Don't let this cat get your tongue.
This one unnerved me. I don't care for this one.
The body, once again. Yeah. We've got too much like detail. There's too many lines.
Too much.
His face is terrifying.
Yeah.
It's so long.
Andy. Yeah, it looks like Enzo stepped right out of the Taylor Swift reboot of Cats.
No, I took an edible on Sunday with my older man.
Yes,
even watching it high, it's really rough.
Yes.
Like there's a scene where Rebel Wilson is biting cockroaches' heads off and the cockroaches have human faces. It's truly some wild stuff.
Yes.
But, yeah, this is really upsetting. I don't like this one.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, well. Enzo would approve of your use of the pod.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
That's what I was going for before. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Those are the BB comics. Are they? And then here's one other one that a listener sent in that they worked on a Rob Cesternino comic. Mm. I've never had this before. I retweeted this. I said,
Is that just a photo of you from earlier today? That looks exactly like you.
Yeah. I said, nailed it. That it says Robbio. It's me, shirtless. Like I would be on the cover of some sort of like a, you know, paperback romance novel. And the caption says, I'm trying to read what it says. It says the writing is
saving damsels one podcast at a time.
Yeah, that's.
I wish they had your plaid shirt like hanging over your shoulder.
Yeah, that would have been so good.
Yeah. Got the very high waisted jeans. Also, I really got the mom jeans going on.
Mom
here.
Jeans, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a look for sure.
The definition is appropriate.
Yes,
feel like the lack of detailing in the like lines of the arm is very okay, nice.
So you feel like that's what you would like to see, but
like
more so than
level
than
of
King
like
Kaser.
Arm detail.
You looked kind of like a human. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Do you want to see what we had for Tyler from BB20?
Yeah.
Okay. This was the Tyler comic from BB20. He was the life guardian. Here he is.
Right, let's see what he looks. Yeah, see, look at that. Look at those muscles.
Yeah.
he looks amazing.
I liked him better back then, that's for sure.
I wish he had like a side by side of this one.
Whatever.
Wild.
Yeah.
It's just yeah. Okay. They clearly are feeling a certain way about Tyler this
year. Right.
Asia, do you feel like it was a huge advantage for Nicole that she's had this competition before?
Absolutely. She's won it once already. She was close to winning it the other time she played it. And so she knew exactly what to look for. So I remember when she went across, she only had to go across like twice to get the people in order. And then she knew what to look for once she realized the details. And so obviously, like anybody who's done this competition multiple times would be at a huge advantage. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so many of the competitions on the show have a learning curve. It's like once you do it a couple times, you're very good at it. And so I totally understand that.
Okay. Nicole will not use the power of veto, and it's going to be Christmas versus Memphis up on the block for Thursday night. Andy, do you have a strong feeling as to who the alliance of three should be getting rid of?
I mean, I think they are going to get rid of Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Is that the right move?
I think that's very good for Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's good for Cody and Enzo. I still think it's fine. Like, I think it's probably better for Cody to get out Christmas, but I don't think he's going to.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's in Cody and Enzo's best interest to get out Christmas, and it's in Nicole's best interest to get out Memphis. So they're doing her a huge solid if they do vote out Memphis, because they are going to be screwed if, you know, Christmas ends up winning HOH.
Or I feel like especially screwed if Christmas wins veto.
Exactly.
If Christmas wins veto and not HOH, Cody's toast for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's take some questions from the listeners. I think we got a lot tonight because we said Andy was coming on. Let's see. This is from a listener, Nicole Civic. Why is Nicole squatting in the pantry in a cat dress? Okay, is this a live feed update?
No, she was in the pantry. She was squatting in the pantry in a cat dress in the episode.
Okay, yes.
There were a lot of questions about this cat dress.
Yes.
I noticed that.
Yes. Okay. Well, let me see. Somebody send it to me on Twitter, the Nicole's cat dress, and we could take a look at it. And
did the ceremony.
I mean, I was about to be like, I don't hate it, but then look what I'm wearing.
Yeah. I didn't even notice it. I didn't even notice it.
After the icon, she looked amazing. Okay.
All right. We'll come as that. Send it to my mentions, and then I'll bring it up on the screen. Okay. Just Joe says, seriously, what is Cody's problem with Kaser? Yeah. Going all the way back to the first night of the season.
Kaser.
Yeah, he.
Yeah, wow. We should have known.
Yeah, he seems like a. You know what he did, Andy? He called out the love triangle.
He did.
Mm-hmm. That was an F.
And back in the day, Kaser was that guy. Like, he was so. I mean, he still is. He was so handsome. And Cody is that guy of the newer Big Brother, and so maybe he secretly knows that, and he's like, "No, I'm the."
You think Cody's a player hater?
Yeah, exactly.
That he was the old hotness, and that you feel like that this is like a Nicole and Janelle feud for Cody and Kaser?
Exactly.
Wow.
Very well. Because nothing else makes sense. Like, why are you so obsessed with that man?
I think that he was indifferent. And then I think that once he called out the love triangle, I think that that was I feel like that was a red line for Cody.
Yeah, that
really made people mad.
Yeah, nobody liked that.
I think Kaser thought nothing of it, but it just made people furious. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think he was just trying to call out the fact that it was three people.
Right,
and everyone's like, "Whoa, love."
Okay. No. here's Nicole. Like, yeah, I don't know why she was then squatting in the pantry.
You don't? I think it's very clear why she was.
Yes. Yeah, what do you think? I mean, did she want to walk in on Enzo in the bathroom, Andy?
It explains itself, really. All we have to do is look at this and really understand what's going on.
Who hasn't? I used to do that all the time when I was in there.
Yeah, you squat in the pantry in a cat press. Everyone does it. That's the thing.
Andy, can we also just speak to, I've talked about this earlier in the season, they have so much produce in this. I mean, look, if you went into a grocery store, you wouldn't see a spread like that.
No, it's that.
Did you have that, Andy?
No, we definitely did not. I think they've gotten much better with like giving them more food. Over like it's like so crackers are by far my favorite snack. I like Cheez-Its, Goldfish, like Wheat Thins. I just don't love plain Triscuits. Like I like flavored Triscuits.
Boy, the Triscuits really bother you, Andy. This is the second time they've come up.
The only crackers they would give us were plain Triscuits, and I was like, please, I like crackers and I don't like cheese. Can we have any other crackers? And they wouldn't.
They're like, the goldfish is out of our budget.
It makes me mad. Like when I watch the season now and I see them getting what they want. Mm-hmm. But yeah, our pantry was never stocked with produce like that.
Yeah, they get stuff to make poke bowls, apparently.
Yeah. Well, no.
Did you see all those avocados?
Didn't you see my like complete confusion when you mentioned that? I was like, there's no way they have that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ahi tuna. Sushi grade.
Yes. Torrance says, is tonight's tea kettle segment the dumbest of the beloved Dum Dum segments? Asia, is this the dumbest segment that we've had this season?
You know, well, I will say Cody thinking a Texan is an animal kind of takes the cake.
I think that's way dumber.
Yeah.
Aren't you forerunners, folks?
Even worse than this.
Where does the term in-law, like sister-in-law, come from?
Oh, yeah. That was rough, too.
And every week they want to give us a new Dum Dum segment.
Yeah. But Cody's eating it up. He knows what he's doing. He told either Enzo or I think he told Nicole, he was like, I'm getting like the dumb edit. And he's like, I know it's just giving me more TV time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you know. That equates to more followers. So
right.
I love that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Then this is from Schmitty 0404. So is Tyler's comic his punishment for wanting to leave the game early or what?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
I still feel like they loved, I don't know. I still think production likes Tyler.
I think they were hoping he would come around and then ultimately go on a run. But now that he didn't, they're like, all right, we're done with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. From Sheldon, what's the over under on how many times the players went across the BB comic zip line? Any hacks for this challenge? If we were going to, Andy, put a point on what Nicole was able to do. What was the secret to the Nicole strategy?
I mean, I think Melissa touched on it. I think it was only going across a couple times and figuring out the order. Like, I think once you have that, that's like not, it doesn't seem like a lot of people did that.
Yeah.
I think the key is like, it does seem that the best thing to do is first put them all up on the board in the correct order.
Right.
One in front of the other.
Yep.
Then you can go through and be like, okay, what is the difference between these two? Okay, what is the difference between these two? And then kind of just like go and see like, okay, I spot that difference. I spot that difference. Okay. And then all you have to do is just remove them.
Switch them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or switch them around if they're wrong.
So would you say that the secret is a couple of trips and a couple of flips?
Yeah.
Okay. To sum that
double
up.
Triple flipping.
double triple dipping. Yeah.
Double triple flipping.
Did the Big Brother announcer hear on Monday night and take your pumpkin spice pun? I couldn't pull the sound clip for that, but yeah, they did say that Nicole won the pumpkin spice power after Andy. Did you hear the other night when the announcer man said that it was somebody was going to Jacko land on the block?
Yeah, I did.
When I first heard the announcer say like that she won the pumpkin spice power, I was like, wait, there's a power? Wait, what's going on? Like, I did not understand that he meant.
I was like not paying that much attention, and then I heard that and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I
was the exact same way.
Power?
Yeah. Look, we've got puns for days on this show if they want to hear more stuff for the opening credits. We're happy to help. Okay. Then Tyler, Kacer, Janelle, David for AFP. I think you got to pick a horse there. What would have been your strategy in this specific cast? Who would you have aligned with to win? Okay, Andy, let's talk this through. If you were in the Big Brother 22 house, how would you have approached this?
I would have immediately. Okay, so let's just posit that I won like an early HOH or something because let's just say that.
Sure.
I would have targeted men. I would have targeted the strong, straight, athletic white men. I would have nominated Tyler and Cody immediately first week. I would have worked with all, like, I would have literally been like, if you're a woman, you are safe with me for the first 8 weeks of this game. I will not target a woman. I would have wanted to work with Ian and Kacer if we're talking about working with men. I basically would have wanted to work with everybody that did not do very well this season, except for I would have worked with Nicole and Danny for sure, like because I know them in real life. Like Danny is my really good friend. Like I want to say that if I were in there, I would have gotten Danny to work with the other side of the house because I think that like she would have listened to me over like some of the people in that bigger alliance. But the problem is that none of the people that I would have wanted to work with were winning anything. But like I said, going in, just my strategy, if I would have just gone in night one and seen everyone, would have been target the strong men, because that is a group of people that always bands together, and that's exactly what they did. I would have targeted Tyler and Cody week one, and it wouldn't have mattered to me which one went home.
Andy, what went wrong for Danny this season?
I mean, I feel like she like overlearned her lesson from Big Brother 13. I feel like she really wanted to lay low and like not cause waves. But also I think that she very much overestimated her ability to manipulate people. I do not think she's as good at it as she thinks that she is. And this is coming from like her very good friend. I talked to Dom about this. I truly just think that she thought that she was running the show and she wasn't, and she got too comfortable. And I mean, that's what happens when she got too comfortable. And when you get too comfortable, you get completely blindsided. And that's what happened to her. You know, I mean, it was crushing for me to watch because I wanted her to do well, but she overestimated her abilities to win people over. I feel like
with you saying you would have gotten her to work with the other side of the house, it seemed like she genuinely liked them better. Like that's the problem with the committee. Like she didn't like, it wasn't like she would get along with them normally. No, like they weren't her type of people.
That's the problem. It's like, you want to work with the people that you like because you actually establish bonds with them. It's like Danny didn't have any sort of a bond whatsoever with Christmas or Memphis. It's like, if I were in there, I would have been like, hey, Davon and Nicole Anthony, like they're awesome. And I also think that like, I mean, I just want to hope that like I could have steered their wrong reads in the right direction. Like I'm obsessed with Nicole Anthony. And I think if I were in there with Nicole Anthony, I would have been like, girl, no. Like, what are you talking about? You are wrong. Janelle and Kaser are not coming after you. Stop. Like, you know, if I'm good at anything in the Big Brother house, it's like reading the other people and like knowing what's going on. And I think that I could have steered some of those incorrect reads in the right direction.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's take another question. This is from Queen Parvati. Christmas was clocking the house in her DRs tonight. Is she our last hope to take out Cody? Well, Melissa, how much credit should we be giving to Christmas for having the house clocked?
I mean, I will say that her and Enzo have been having conversations. I mean, Enzo has these types of conversations about everybody, like, oh, we got to take out this person, we got to take out that person, and then never actually follows through. But Christmas has been saying that they need to take out Cody because they can't beat him. So there has been discussion about that. I don't know if any of that will happen or if any of that is really, you know, if any of it's genuine. It could just be something that they're saying for now, and then they truly intend to take him. But it does seem like Christmas would take out Cody. I mean, I don't, if she stays this week and Memphis goes home, it seems like she would be interested. It does seem to me that she'd be genuine in wanting either Nicole or Enzo with her in the final three.
I think for sure she would take out Cody. I think for sure she would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the right move.
Yeah.
Like she should take out Cody. I mean, so should everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I don't know how she could not see that move. I feel like that for her, out of anybody, like, I feel like that's the person you know, just like,
well, especially because she doesn't have anything. She doesn't have anything with Cody. Mm-hmm. Like the other people at least feel like Cody has their back. But like, I mean, Christmas doesn't have any connection to Cody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in terms of having the house clocked, I mean, it's five people left. She's on the block. Like she knows what's going on.
You don't have to be a lunette to know what time it is.
You don't need to figure out much for that.
Right. Tara Renee says, what do Nicole's boss pants look like?
They have a bunch of dogs on them.
Yeah. Did Nicole think she was going to put her boss pants on?
I must have missed this.
Christmas, when she was trying to get Nicole to use the veto, was like, it's time to put your boss pants on in order to put a Cody.
Would have been a real big turnoff for me if someone was like telling me, like, it's time to put your boss pants on. I was like, no, like, okay, now I'm not going to be doing that. I'm totally just, no.
That's like the thing about being in the Big Brother house. Someone says something like that and you have to be like, oh yeah, you are so right. Oh my God, I am going to go and I'm going to get them. And in your head, you're like, shut up.
Yeah, you're like, I will put my boss pants on.
Yeah. Like, By the way, going back to the cat dress, one of our listeners, Amanda Burton, sent me a tweet that said that this is up right now on Poshmark. Somebody has the cat dress on Poshmark, originally purchased because Nicole from BB wore it. So you can get the Iron Fist car. It says car dress. But I think that's a typo with Peter Pan collar. $16.
On sale. Yeah, it was $55.
The description says baby pink cat dress with Peter Pan style collar. Original purchase because Nicole from Big Brother wore it. In great condition. Only worn twice. Fits about 2 to 6, depending on how flowy you prefer.
Wow.
Only $16 on Poshmark. Yeah. All right. I would, you know, I could wear it like a shirt, I think.
For sure.
It's flowy. I mean, it depends how flowy you want it, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
All right. Let's take another question. This one is from Nate. Christmas seemed to get somewhat of a winner edit tonight. Could the jury be pulling for her more than we think? Asia, have you noticed anybody getting a better edit than anybody else now in the home stretch?
Well, at first I was thinking, like, before Tyler went out, that Tyler was getting that, like, America's Favorite Player edit. But right now, like, Enzo is definitely getting that, like, likable edit.
Likable.
We don't see... Yeah, likable, but not so much the winner edit. Yes. I think the competitions are speaking for themselves in terms of people making moves. So like Cody, how can anyone not see that at this point he's on the path to win this game? Mm-hmm. So I don't think in terms of the edit that anyone's getting more so than anyone else, but that's from my standpoint.
Can I say that, Melissa, I know you have been the first person to arrive at this, but I think that Nicole is really getting a mastermind edit here. And I think that if we were in that production booth, if we were trying to guess who is production, you know, I know that they're always indifferent and objective, but I think that if they were pulling for anybody, I think they want a Nicole win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think so. I mean, first of all, I do think it makes for the more interesting story because it was like, okay, she wasn't really doing much. And then it's like a come from behind kind of story where it's like, you know, she was on the block twice or the triple and then she wins. And now she's, you know, she wins the HOH, she wins the veto, she gets Memphis out, then she starts getting other people out. And as she's talking to the cameras and you see her talk to the cameras about like what she's thinking, you see her, you know, in the diary room saying like, who's an all-star now or whatever, like who deserves to be in this all-star house? Like, I just feel like it's like, there is a narrative there where it's like, she starts off being like, oh, I don't know, I don't get the credit, you know, whatever. And then you like continually see her like build up the story. I mean, I could see it.
Yeah. This was her in the diary room tonight.
Now I'm definitely all-star material, right?
I mean,
right?
Nicole,
right?
This Please is your stop. Third time. Who hurt you? You're an all-star.
That's why it's been so, and I guess it's been working, but I just, as a former winner, it's been weird for me to watch her play just because I feel like she's been so, she's had no fun whatsoever. It looks like she's been miserable the whole season. And if you've already won once, I would go in and just, I would have fun. And I guess if I went out like week three, but I would like, I would not be as miserable as she's been. It's been so weird to watch. Like, I feel like she has nothing to prove.
It's like, you can't, yeah, exactly. You've already won. You can't take that win away from you. So like, why not go in and just like, you know, balls to the wall, just like do whatever you can do, make good TV. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of, I don't know. He's playing too safe.
Too, like Ian played way too safe too, I thought. I thought both of the winners were kind of disappointing. From an entertainment perspective this season.
Yeah.
Now I do remember a commercial leading up to this episode tonight that was like highlighting what's going on in the game. And then it was like, it's her game now. I'm talking about Nicole since she was HOH. Okay. So yeah, maybe they are.
Yeah. I think that people are too low on Nicole's chances. I think everybody's got their eyes on Cody, and I think Nicole has a better chance than people are giving her credit for to swoop in there and win this thing.
I mean, we've seen the past few seasons that the person we think is going to be the winner for like an extended period of time, and while like, the season's his or the season's hers, it's not theirs. So, you know, I really think that there could be an upset.
Yeah. Do you mind? Can we go back to my comic book again real quick?
Wow, Rob, you want to show it again?
Yeah. I just wonder because I'm feeling like that maybe that I'm thinking, Andy, tell me if I'm crazy, but I feel like that maybe that I look like somebody else.
From what I knew of Victor on BB18, he was this long-haired, salsa dancing, no shirt on ever because he was ripped, ladies man.
I mean,
well, Rob, you look like Victor from Big Brother 18.
Yeah,
you look like neutered Victor now.
No, yeah, now I'm like holy cheese.
Right.
I mean, if Cody saw my comic, he'd be like, "Hey, what happened to that guy?"
Rob's like, "I'm sorry, can we just show the comic one more time?" Yeah. I mean, can we also like zoom in on like the abs? Like, is that accurate? Like,
No, I'm just saying that I felt like that because Cody was so down on Victor the other night.
So down.
Yeah.
Cody's a smack talker. Cody talks about everybody, it seems like.
But I'm glad someone said it, because if you look at Victor today, that man is unrecognizable.
Right, I'll agree. So.
Hey, he's an ugly football coach now, Asia.
He's fitting into the town.
Mm-hmm. Holy
cheese.
He's
happily engaged. Also, like when he posted something on Instagram or whatever, like defending, but just being like, yeah, I'm happy. Like, you know, Cody can suck it or whatever.
He said that?
No, he didn't say that. Okay. But it was like some sort of tweet of him being like happily engaged. Like, this is the new me or whatever. And he had a picture of him with, I'm assuming like his niece or something, but like, the way it was framed was like he had like his arms around her and she's like here and she's a young child and it says happily engaged on it and it looks like he's engaged to that little girl. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh, okay, man.
It was not a great hashtag with the visual. It was just like, okay, too much.
Okay, I gotta see if we can find. Was that a story or that was a post?
I think it was a story. I don't know. I saw it on Reddit.
Okay. All right, what do you got?
Let's see if I can find it.
All right. Let's take some more questions. Jonathan says, if Nicole's cat dress as a secret message indicating her allegiance to the meow meow. Okay.
Now, if anybody listens to Taryn every morning, there's no world where Nicole and Enzo take each other to the final two.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely not.
Well, do you think that there's a chance? Because I feel like that there is a non-zero chance that Nicole would cut Cody.
Yeah, I think there's absolutely no way. Like, okay, even look at the beginning of this episode tonight. She goes up to Christmas. She's like, you're not mad, right? You get it. To nominating her. There's no way she's going to be able to look Cody in his eye and say, I'm voting to evict you.
See, so I think she could, though, because here that Nicole, I do think, is always self-interested. And I think she's saying all the right things to Cody. But we heard her tonight talk about how I could be the game's first two-time winner. Like, I think that people are underestimating just how badly she wants this, where she could put herself, here's all the other Big Brother players, here's all the other Big Brother winners, here's Nicole. She would have something over everybody. She would be the Big Brother legend of over Dr. Will, over Derek, over all, you know, over Andy Heron, over all these people. And she would have that. And I think that do not underestimate how bad she wants this. I think she would do it.
I think we know this, but I personally do not think that she has the guts to do it. We want her to do it.
I think that it seems like it's more of a clear, great shot from an outside perspective. I don't know if she's going to do it either.
Okay. We'll see. I say don't be surprised on finale night if she does it.
I mean, if she does, I would love
it.
I'll be so proud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Okay. And then let's take such great questions tonight. Here is Noah Markowitz, the great Noah Markowitz. Andy, as one of the few who has successfully done it, what's the secret to overthrow a big house alliance? How did you get the outsiders to realize they were actually the outsiders and take down the power?
I mean, it's all about establishing good relationships with people. I feel like if people like you and they trust you, you can, like, I truly meant, like, I was like, okay, like, clearly I've been working with these people, but I was like, the whole game, I was working with like Helen and Amanda, who were the controlling alphas. But at the same time, I was always working with the outsiders as well. Just being like, I always positioned myself, even though I was in the big alliance, as an outsider. I was like, everyone has their own little pair. Helen has Alyssa, Amanda has McCray. I don't have anybody. And then it, like, when I just kind of rang all of the outsiders up, they were like, yeah, this makes sense. We've all been outsiders the whole game. Why don't we work together? And it's just because I really was like cultivating those relationships while I was with the Power Alliance, you know?
Okay.
Like, it seems like a lot of these players just disregard all of the players that aren't in their alliance. And it's just like, don't do that, because like, it's like if Dani had not done that, I feel like she could have had a better shot later down the road at actually having people to work with once she realized that she was on the bottom, you know?
Mm-hmm. Andy, I have from Melissa the picture of Victor from that Victor. Here is Victor's response to the Calafiore. Here's what Victor says. He says, may not be the old BB Vic, but I love my life. Hashtag adulting. Hashtag happily engaged. Well, first off, hashtag adulting makes it sound like that this is his kid also.
I didn't realize how absurd this photo was.
It's just like when you say it's like hashtag happily engaged, and you would normally put a picture of you with the person you're engaged to.
He's been like an 8-year-old.
But also hashtag adulting makes it sound like that this is his child.
He's engaged to his daughter.
Also, yeah, wearing a hat in the picture.
Oh my god, it's just so funny. I saw the picture and I was like,
Oh, this is really funny. I did not realize it was this funny. Okay, I like this.
No, cool. It's too much.
Yeah, he's like behind her.
Okay. It sounds like maybe Victor could use a social media influencer in the house to sort of like a good post, bad post.
I feel like it's like that picture on its own is fine. It's just like the hashtags that make me like totally like, wait, what?
Hashtag best niece ever. Fine.
Right. Yeah. That's like a totally different vibe. Like best niece ever versus happily engaged.
Hashtag adulting. Okay. All right. Hit by a car, Claire. Oh, how are you, hit by a car, Claire? How do you feel?
I hope she's okay.
Yeah, no, she's fine. How do you feel that the most likely winner of Big Brother 22 saying counting to six is not easy?
Oh,
who is that? Who said that? Cody?
Cody. We're not going to have this. I don't think any of these remaining five people are very smart.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a dummy winner and we just have to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, that's not even the worst thing Cody said this season. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Scott, do we have any other questions? Okay, I'll take that as a no. All right, we haven't talked about the live feeds. I don't think there's a lot to talk about, but I guess we should talk about who's likely going home. So let me play the song real quick, and we can talk about that as we look ahead to tomorrow night. Oh wait, hold on. Let's see. Maybe we have another question here. This is from Josh Creek. Who would Andy pitch, or what would Andy pitch as the next Big Brother drunk history for Melissa to do?
Oh my gosh, I've actually thought about this.
Yes.
Jennifer turning on Kacer, Big Brother 6, the pressure cooker.
The pressure cooker.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of wigs.
I want to do it. I'm wondering, I was trying to think like, so I want to film it like in my house, obviously, or like in my apartment. So like, but I do have like this whole corner here is glass windows. And now I'm just thinking like I could turn that into the pressure cooker. It could work. I could figure it out.
Yeah. The thing is that,
okay, so I will be honest. Like I tried to film like the description part, like where I'm drunk describing it, of like Rockstar's daughter's birthday. And what was the other one I did? Oh, Taco Tuesday.
Oh, that's okay. That was that.
But the problem is those are like tiny little things. Right. So it's like a 2-second thing where I'm like, okay, he said this, she said that, he said that. And it's like two people arguing in each situation that like it ends so quick. So I feel like those could be like little like quick bites or something, but like we can't turn a whole thing into that. So
it's gotta be
a long one. And I think pressure cooker,
could you also just do kind of like the whole week? It's like you could do the pressure cooker and then her lying and turning on him. And then like Janelle, her throwing the key on the ground, like.
Yeah, I feel like pressure cooker could be a good one because it's not just the pressure cooker. I feel like the Taco Tuesday and the Rockstar's daughter's birthday are just like very quick fights, and that's what the big deal is that they're like a fight. But those fights are not like Keisha's birthday, which lasted like for like 12 minutes of the episode. You know, so those are okay. I'll keep pressure cooker in mind. Okay. That's a good one.
Let me throw out Danielle Reyes versus Jerry, wash your hands.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yes.
That's good. That's good. Okay. Yeah, definitely. All right.
Let's talk about what's going on the live feeds as we talk about tomorrow night's vote. If you're leaving us now, we had a lot of fun here tonight. Hope you can join us again tomorrow night after the eviction. Maybe we'll have a special surprise tomorrow night for you, too. Okay. All right. Let's talk about our spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Oh, yes. The spoilers.
That was a good spoiler dance. And I liked all the props. Asia had her little yes. Like, tea kettle.
Yes, spoilers are hot.
Oh, it whistles.
Yes. Okay. All right, Melissa, not a lot going on, right?
No. Yeah, no, not a lot. I mean, yeah, there is the possibility that something could happen, but at this point, it just seems like Memphis is going to be leaving, and that's that.
And Asia, he doesn't know, right?
He has no idea.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, right? Something. Enzo and Cody. Yeah, Enzo and Cody talked to earlier. They were like, should we tell him? And Cody's like, no, we should just blindside him. So I hope they stick to that, because finally, a real reaction.
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
Andy, will Memphis react? He's been so nonchalant with everything all season long because he thinks, oh, I've got another wise guy. See you later, Christmas. You know, nice to know. Nice knowing you. And will he be actually pissed when he gets voted out?
I hope so. It would be fun. I don't like him. And so it would be fun to watch and just it would give us good TV. So yeah, I hope he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Melissa, will Christmas and Memphis, there's been a lot of talk about the flirt mance this week. Do you think that this will be a bittersweet goodbye for Christmas?
No, I mean, I don't know. I think that Memphis might be like upset with Christmas. Like, I just feel like.
Why?
I feel like he thinks he's in a much better spot than she is. And I think that if he finds out that really like she was in a better spot than he was and all these people were pulling one over on him, I kind of feel like I start to feel like he's going to be like, okay, I'm okay with the guys doing this because it's a good game move. I'm a great player, but I'm upset that Christmas, who I thought was in a worse off spot than me, who I thought was like, leading Christmas around. Like I thought I was leading Christmas around, but really like she had her own thing going on. And I feel like that could be something that makes him upset, even though it shouldn't make him upset like at all. But I could see that being a situation unless he's just mad at the guys. So really like who knows with Memphis, like he kind of could go either way. There's really no predicting what he's going to do.
Yeah. Okay. AJ, anything else to be on the lookout for tomorrow night on the live show?
We can look out for Julie. Telling Memphis, you were running the games since day one. What happened?
Yes.
Memphis, you made it to final two and you didn't get a single vote, Memphis.
Yes. You know, this is a lot different than my last season. Yes. Where you lost to Dan Giesling.
Unanimous vote.
Yes.
Yeah. Who then went on to lose to Ian in Big Brother 14.
Yes.
She'll just go through the whole history.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, I know a God. Yes.
Julie's interviews have been really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's like she just, I think she like wants to make them feel better about leaving. So she like brings up like a good memory from their previous season, like to like offset the sadness that they feel for being evicted. But like it just, it's kind of weird because it's like, okay, we'll talk about this season. Like we know what they did before.
It is not it. That's for sure. It is not.
Yeah. I just think she wants to like drop a fact like, oh, here's something I know about you.
Right.
Here's something I know about Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. I feel like she knows very, I don't think she knows too much about Big Brother. I don't really think she's that invested. So I think It's interesting. Like she literally after I won, she was just like, good job. And then she like walked off the stage and that's all anybody saw of her like after our season.
And do you think that we will see the jury house again tomorrow? We've only saw it last week.
I do. I think we will for sure. I think they know that that's what we want.
It's probably gonna be half the episode.
I don't know. I think we skip a week and I think we come back to it next Thursday.
Rob, do not put that into the universe, Rob. I disagree. We're gonna get in the jury house tomorrow.
What else
are they gonna show?
I have no idea because we still have so many episodes of Big Brother to go. I mean, we still have with Thursday night, and then we have the full slate next week of Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I feel like we'll get Tyler coming to the jury house, and then I think next week we'll get Memphis coming to the jury house.
Yeah, I feel like they could fill time by just doing jury segments. Like,
yeah,
they're just short. Like,
especially because they were saying last week that Tyler was now running the house. There would be plenty to talk about
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because basically, that I don't know what they'll give us here for. I mean, it's not like that the Memphis and Christmas campaigning has been off the charts or anything like that, right?
Not really.
No, he's just confident.
Yeah,
I feel like it's like there is a little bit of discussion, but not enough to fill a whole episode. I don't know.
I wonder, could we get maybe a home segment? Could we do like a check-in with Victor or something like that, Andy?
Over Zoom?
I don't know. I want a jury segment over that for sure.
Okay. All right. Let's see. A couple other questions for tonight. This is from Bethany. Do you guys think Nicole, in her goodbye message to Memphis, should tell him that Cody and Enzo told her about the Wise Guys Alliance, cover her bases, if she's in the end with Enzo or Cody? That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Yeah. I feel like that's a good idea.
She should.
Just always so you know, I heard about the Wise Guys.
Yeah, I feel like the goodbye message was two of them.
You didn't know about both.
It's a good place to, like, you know, get the information out there that you want people to know. Plus they're gonna show that, like, the, you know, they show some of the goodbye messages, and like they're gonna show stuff if you reveal information about the gameplay. Like, sure. They're gonna show.
Yeah.
And Josh, who, I mean, I don't want to put a challenge spoiler out there, so, you know, the season could be over or whatever, but he's back on Twitter. And he's like, when are they going to run me my check for, you know, revealing things, using the goodbye messages as strategy?
Oh, please.
He was
Exactly. Yeah, please.
Yeah, yeah, no.
How was that invented by him?
I would like do it and be like, please show them this. Like, I was like, I know you're only showing like four or five. Like, please show Amanda this one. Like, I really need her to see this. Yeah.
Okay. Andy, anything else about Big Brother 22 you want to get off your chest tonight?
No, I think we've covered a lot. Like RHEP has been like a bright spot of the season for me. It's been like much more entertaining and fun than the actual show.
Yes.
So it's fun to be here.
Hopefully, the audience is venting with us and not at us.
Right.
Yeah. Asia, anything else that you want to add tonight?
No, I think that's about it. I mean, I think the only thing that would make it interesting at this point is, you know, we're expecting Cody to win. So if something throws a wrench in that plan, then I would love to see it. You know, if Cody wins, then it's going to be pretty smooth sailing from here. Not much entertainment. But if someone actually is able to get him out, it's going to be interesting to watch. So I just, maybe something like that will happen.
Andy, will you send an email to Cody and welcome him to the Winners Club if he becomes the winner of Big Brother?
No, I've never done that to anybody.
Welcome. Just want to welcome to the club, champ.
If I got that email from someone, I would think they were not okay. So I
sending you positive vibes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's going on. Melissa, anything else you want to add?
Nope, I think we covered it.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what else is going on robiswebsite.com. News AF with Andy Heron's friend and mine, Tyson Apostle, and Danny Bryson. Talk about half Christmas tree, perfect to put up flush against your wall. Great idea. And much more on the latest News AF. And then Puya is back to talk about 90 Day Fiance. The other way, and he's going to be talking with who's this? Samantha Parker. Check that out, 90 Day Fiance. Melissa, how was yours?
Wow, what a great
endorsement. I was going to say, Rob.
You know, the print is very tiny, and I there you go.
Silence too. You're like, who's this, Samantha?
I thought somebody was going to bail me out. Melissa, how was how was your stint on the 90 Day Fiance rehab up?
It was great. I feel like I talked Puya's ear off. So, you know, go listen to it if you want to hear like all my thoughts. Cause like I've had it basically just like held inside for all these 90 Day Fiance seasons because I've been watching and I'm the only one I know that watches. So I basically wanted to talk about like every couple from the beginning of time and it was very fun.
Okay. Andy, do you watch that show?
I do not, but I've been told by a lot of people that I should.
Yes. Okay.
It's pretty good, but I feel like it starts off kind of slow where you're just like, why am I watching this? Like, why do you care about this?
No, and I then love it from the start.
Like, sucked in.
I just need to get in on the start of the season and keep up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then, the Purple Pants podcast is back. Bryce is going to talk about the Real Housewives of Potomac, check in with Amon, update you on the Freak of the Week, and more on the latest Purple Pants podcast, episode number 60 with Bryce Isaiah. Then, look, The Bachelorette is back, and Amy and Haley are here to talk about season 16, episode 1. The season premiere is here. Everybody's talking about The Bachelorette. Check out our original wrap up. Amy and Haley are back to talk about everything going on The Bachelorette in our wrap ups feed and our Bachelorette podcast feed. And then, do we have another question? I have to say, as bad as 2020 has been, the fact that I'm sitting here watching The Amazing Race is truly a blessing. I'm super excited for a season of awesome coverage from RHAP, from Mike and Jess. Okay, thank you, Adam Humphrey. A great tweet to set up. We will have our Amazing Race recap. I will watch the premiere right after this episode. And then Jess and Mike and myself will record our season premiere recap tomorrow morning and have that for you. And then we are going to be having a second Amazing Race podcast every week. We're calling it the Pit Stop. No, the Tar Pits. The Tar Pits. Check that out. Our second Amazing Race podcast. Should have that for you Sunday night. Our second Amazing Race podcast, which will feature an exit interview, feedback questions, Amazing Race interviews with past contestants and more on our second Amazing Race podcast of the week here on Amazing Race season. Of course, Taryn is going to be back with a live feed update tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Check out what is going on in the Big Brother house on eviction day with Taryn. And then tomorrow night, we will be live after the episode. Taryn will be joining myself, Amon, and Lavina on Thursday night to talk about everything that's happening on our eviction night. And a special surprise is in the works as well tomorrow night if you want to join us live, see what's going on. Of course, all this podcasting is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Head on over to robhaswebsite.com/patron to find out more about our patron-only shows, our podcast community, and much more at robhaswebsite.com/patron. Patron, and tomorrow night I'll be live at 7 p.m. Eastern taking calls from our listeners, our patrons, on our patron-only pregame show coming up tomorrow night. So join us live at 7 p.m. before the live show. Of course, you could follow us on social media. We've been sharing a ton of clips from the episodes. We are at Rob Is a Podcast on Twitter or at RHAP Grams on Instagram, hashtag happily engaged. And then, of course, at Rob Is a Podcast on our Facebook page. There you go. And of course, yes, if you are not yet registered to vote, what are you waiting for? I mean, we got a big election coming up. 20 days to go. Big Brother will be over by the time you get to the election. And you want to make sure that you're registered to vote. Head on over to vote.gov to see what you need to do to get registered to vote. And don't be sitting there come November 3rd, like, oh, yeah, I forgot to do that. Make a list, make a voting plan, and get over to vote.gov and do what you got to do. Hashtag adulting, okay?
Yes, right. And I will say, I've been seeing a lot of, I haven't voted yet, but I will early vote. And I've been seeing a lot of stuff about like long lines and everything. I know that if you live in Houston, which is probably a small population, but hey, a lot of people do live in Houston. You can go to KHOU.com and it shows all the polling places and their wait times. So I'd imagine other cities are doing that as well. And so I thought that was really cool. So I'm going to use that in order to know where to vote in a timely manner.
Yeah.
Yes, and vote. Please vote.
Let me just say, sitting on an 11-hour line and having nobody bothering me and listening to podcasts sounds like a dream. Okay, I relish that. We've got tons of podcasts to get you through whatever long wait lines you're on. Okay, so
yeah. Also recommend if you've got like a mail-in ballot to use one of the drop boxes instead of using just the mail. Mm-hmm. It guarantees that they're going to get it in time and yep. everything will be good and count it and all that. So
that's what I'm doing. Dropbox.
Okay. All right, Melissa, what's next for you?
I think that this weekend on Sunday, I'm supposed to be joining Puya, his stream to do, Among Us.
Yes. I got to play this past Sunday.
Yeah. I heard about that and they played for 8 hours, which I told him I will not be doing
that. They played for 8 hours?
They played for 8 hours. I was like, oh my God, it was very impressive. But I told him like, I will not be there.
What is going on? Yeah.
I will only be on for as long as I can do, but 8 hours will not be it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So it should be fun. I've only played once before, so I'm probably going to be really, really bad, but you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's hard because the people that really know the game are like at a big like advantage of they're just like saying things that like I don't even know what that means. They're like you were in that room and I know that task is like, all right, you got me. You're just way at a way bigger knowledge advantage than I am.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Asia, I didn't say very sorry about Dak Prescott.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, but Andy Dalton is not shabby. So we, Dallas Cowboys, will be in good shape. So it's, you know, all hope is not lost.
Okay. Asia, what's next for you?
Well, I am just, I'll be watching The Amazing Race, watching The Bachelorette.
Do you have a favorite team on this Amazing Race?
I do. So Will's team, Will and his fiance. Mm-hmm. I can't think of his name, but James. Yeah, I'm rooting yes. for them. Oh, what's his name? Matt.
James?
Oh, James. Okay. Yeah. Will and James. Yes. I am rooting for them.
Not D'Angelo Williams.
Right. No. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'll be really interesting. So, I will be watching that, but yeah, pretty much that's all I'll be doing.
Okay. All right. And where can people keep up with you, Asia?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter, Asia Like Asia. So it's A-Y-S-H-A, like A-S-I-A. I also just got a puppy 1 month ago, and she's a Malshie Poo. So if you want to see pictures of her or my roommate's standard poodle, you can follow me on Instagram. It's Asia Like the Continent, A-Y-S-H-A, like the continent.
Okay. All right. And the great Andy Herron. Andy, if people want to get cameos from you under the influence, it's a great idea, right? It's a great gift.
It's fun. Yeah, I really enjoy doing them. I always have a good time. I think people enjoy them. So, and it's just cameo.com/my name, Andy Herron. Mm-hmm.
And what else is going on, Andy?
I'm going to like a cabin in the woods in like Western Illinois with a few friends for the next 5 days, starting tomorrow.
Now, is this, I know you're a big horror guy. Are you hoping that there's going to be like, is this like some sort of like Halloween? I'm going to go like to a cabin in the woods and hope that Jason comes.
I mean, no, I mean, I guess that would be exciting as long as I didn't get killed. But no, we're just like, we wanted to just like disconnect for a little bit. Although I say that, but I'm going to like for sure like be trying to watch the episode tomorrow or like figuring out a time to watch it on Friday if I can. Mm-hmm. So I'll be gone until Monday, but then I'll just be back living my life, tweeting about Big Brother, doing cameos, you know, the huge.
Yes. Andy, do you dress up for Halloween?
I usually do. Yeah. I do not have a costume for this year though yet, so we'll see.
Okay. Anybody has an idea for a costume?
Yeah, let me know. Tweet at me. Yeah, let me know.
I know Nicole's cat dress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nicole's cat. That's a cheap one.
It's only $16.
Okay. Yes.
But yeah.
How about the superhero Abra Curl Dabra?
Oh God.
Oh, God.
Deborah's like, who are you?
I'm Abercurl Deborah, of course.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you all so much for joining us here tonight. We had a lot of fun. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Check out our Amazing Race recap tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.